It's your Daily Dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, April 30th. We are officially entering May, and you know what they say about that. It's gonna. It's gonna be May. Welcome to Daily Dose of Donna. I'm so happy you guys are here. We've got a bunch of things to chat about and gossip about today on this lovely, beautiful, amazing, gorgeous, sunny Tuesday, Los Angeles Day. We're going to talk a little bit about Vanderpump Rules lawsuits. We're going to talk about, oh, Rachel has a new boyfriend. I'm kind of like digging this for her. Tori Spelling, Summer House, a little bit of Selling OC, a little bit of everything today on today's Daily Dose of Donna. Love Beans, welcome to the show. We didn't even talk about Mauricio and Kyle hanging out at Coachella over the weekend. Stagecoach. The Love Beans have been reunited. Now, I know there's some rumors about the husband. There's some rumors about Morgan and Kyle not spending any time together. Allegedly, according to Dumois, Morgan Wade was contacted by some sort of fan who said, "No, where's Kyle? What's going on with Kyle?" And she said, "I haven't talked to her in a while." Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm assuming not. But either way, Kyle and Mauricio and the Fam Bam were over at Stagecoach, along with so many other reality stars. We'll talk a little bit about Alex Hall from Selling OC. We saw Sheena and Lala Kent and her bump. Rachel Levis was there allegedly wearing Ariana's shirt that she wore in a season of Vanderpump Rules. Who else? Like, which reality stars, which other ones were there? I mean, they were all there, right? Like all the Bachelor type people. If I could go to any one of the shows, I would choose Stagecoach over Coachella personally. I think Stagecoach is so much more up my alley. I love country. Like, and I'm not that immersed in the country culture yet, meaning I don't really know the music that well, but I tend to like country music in general, like most of it. So I think I would do Stagecoach. My sister went to Stagecoach last year and she chose to opt out this year. And I said, "Why?" And she's like, "Donna, it's such a pain in the ass." And these are the things that we don't think about when we see all these like celebrities at these events. They're all VIP, right? So they all go, they get into special tents, into special areas with their wristbands. They get to be driven out, you know, golf carted, whatever, over to where they are. It's not as crowded. They're getting free drinks, free food. They're getting all this like influencer type stuff. The normies, and that's me and you, we would go wait in crazy lines, probably have to pee in porta potties that are, you know, 10 people out, wait in long lines to get any drink, food. I'm assuming there's long lines. Just you would assume, knowing the crowds, you'd be standing in a sea of people. Panic attack times 1,000 to me. And now I just see it as the only positive maybe is listening to some good music and getting a lot of steps in. Like I would be down to, you know, check my steps. I'm a step counter. So I don't know. I'll have to see if Stagecoach is in my world. If not, I'll just continue to watch these things on YouTube and on Instagram through you all. Okay, so let's get into today's show. I released my episode, my D'Amelio deep dive episode yesterday. I finally wrapped season 3 of the 3 seasons. It was a lot of work, but I did it. And I actually was pretty surprised at who I actually really liked towards the end of the 3rd season, who I really have my eyes out for. There's someone on that show who you wouldn't expect that I am feeling a little bit, getting some vibes. We'll have to see. That's over on Patreon. Of course, a new episode of Bethany Ever After recap will be coming on this week on Patreon, plus an additional, you know, just Patreon episode. just like a me episode. Actually, I do want to release an episode, more personal episode. So I will be doing that later this week. It's going to be about a lot of stuff going on personally in my life, plus what's going on in the world, plus what's going on in the online space with other creators, all of those things that I love to talk about with you guys. So we'll be doing that. All right, let's get into our first story. Rachel Levis as a new man. Rachel FKA, formerly known as Raquel Levis from Vanderpump Rules, has a boyfriend, apparently. We're not 100% sure, but a lot of people have done the digging, and I guess a publicist somehow did give a confirmation out there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people are immediately not into him because of maybe his political side. I don't give a crap about that at this point. I care about, does he have a job? Does he smell like cigarettes and Cheetos? Does he have a girlfriend? These are the main character. These are the main, you know, basics for picking a good man. Now, a lot of you guys are not over, not like that into Raquel and Rachel, Raquel or Rachel Levis. It's like, you know, when I say Raquel and Rachel or Raquel and or Rachel, I always think of the Siamese twin sisters. It's like we have Raquel and Rachel. And I get it. She is, it does feel a little bit like she is just energizing the Scandoval of it all. And we're all so over Scandoval that I can't listen to her show because of that. But it's still in our arena. We're still watching Vanderpump Rules. I think until the end of the season of Vanderpump Rules, we'll be able to talk about Scandoval. And then next season, I don't want to talk about Scandoval again. I don't think we will, because I have a weird feeling that Ariana quit the show. That's just my thought. But here's a little reel that the account It's a Bravo World has posted on their social media. It's a little bit of a clip show, a montage of her and her boyfriend, you know, a little bit of Matthew Dunn. That's his name. Okay, you ready?
My name's Matt, and I know I'm going to sell the most cars this week.
Car salesman.
And Dan brought us a United States staffing CO, so we think it's only right. Slashing prices all day long.
It's giving Travis Kelce air today.
I don't need to think of anything. I hate all of them.
I don't know where the sound went on this guy. Listen, I will tell you this. He's a good looking.
Draw a line through the middle. And on the top side, I want you to put everything I want. And on the bottom, what's stopping me?
Listen.
More, be more, achieve more. Focus on activity over outcomes. Jot that down real quick. Activity okay, over jotting. Outcomes. And it's not so much as adding in new activities as it is removing the activity. A lot of you, as great and as talented as you are, have some activity, some behavior in your life that is catastrophically impacting you in a very bad way. Okay? The most successful people in the world have figured out how to do less of what you are doing.
He's Grant Cardone.
Think on that. This is pretty nice. Ooh. So what do you want to do? Just drive around the block?
Yeah. Well, guys, he can drive. He can drive. We know that. Listen, I really am not hating on him. I think he's a good looking guy. I think he seems successful. He seems motivated. I personally could not ever be with a man who decided to get on his Instagram stories and teach motivational speaking advice and, you know, self-help. It's giving, like I said, it's giving Grant Cardone. It's giving, Jennifer says it's giving Jax. Oi. Let's hope not. But he seems like a nice guy. Like, he seems like a good guy. So remember, all of those videos were taken before it publicly came out that he was dating Raquel. So he's not like now taking advantage of this fame. Andrew says so hot. Okay. Andrew says so hot. Ray thinks she has hives because of her MLM PTSD. For sure he's involved in the MLM. Which one would he be involved in? We're just making this up, guys. We're just speculating. he's involved in, I don't know, a lot of the male-driven MLMs, unless it's just like Grant Cardone stuff. I think that it's probably, I only know female, like really driven MLMs. But you know what? Good for her. He's not Sandoval, and I think he's single. And that to me is very important. Crypto. Oh, crypto. Maybe he's into crypto for sure. Now, meanwhile, speaking of the Rachel Levis story, Ariana has officially like filed her motion in, I guess, to respond. She's responded to this lawsuit that she got from Rachel Levis. And in this response, you can learn a lot from this. Basically, I mean, I don't know how into detail you guys want to get, but Ariana has a declaration where she went through exactly what happened on the night of the reveal, on the night of the reveal of the affair. And she really lays it all out. 1, 2, 3, 4, this is all that happened. And essentially what she's saying in this declaration is that the night of, you know, she was in a committed relationship with Tom. The night that she found the phone, she had a women's instinct. She knew all the passwords. It was never hidden before. She went into the room, the bathroom. She looked. She saw this video of Raquel, you know, inappropriately touched. It's not inappropriately because she was touching herself, so that's not inappropriate. But she was very clearly touching herself in a sexual manner, and Tom had recorded it. She took her own phone. Allegedly, according to Ariana, took her own phone, filmed the phone of Sandoval. So now she has the video on her own phone. So she has the video of the video. Then she goes up to Tom Sandoval in the alley. She starts kind of yelling at him. And then he says, oh, he tried to move her away from the club because he got nervous. Around the same time she sent the videos to Raquel and said, you're dead to me. And she has a screenshot of it. She says she did not send the videos to anyone else or share, display, or show the videos. She only saw the video when she was in the bathroom stall away from others. Then Sandoval and her got into a heated argument. He grabbed her phone from her hands. Okay. So he tried to like, she probably was showing him, look, I have it. And he probably grabbed her phone, or maybe she was like, I'm texting Raquel, and he freaked out. I don't know. I'm just assuming, you know. And okay. So when he grabbed her phone, her credit cards, license, everything falls to the ground. She has to get down on the ground. She starts picking up all her cards. Meanwhile, he has her phone. He's walking down the alleyway. And by the time she catches up with him, he's not only deleted the video, but he's smart enough to go into the deleted videos. Cause you know that, right? When you delete photos on your phone, you also have them saved for like 30 days or something like that. So then he goes into the recently deleted, and he deletes them, meaning they're completely gone. They're not accessible from your phone anymore. And then she texted Logan, her friend, minutes later, told him what happened. And she stated, I called Raquel after finding out and texting her the videos of herself from Tom's phone that I took. Tom took my phone and deleted them. I chased him all the way down San Vicente, which is a street right there. True and correct copies of screenshots I took of those messages are attached. So she has them. When she learned about the affair, she began informing her family and other close friends. And she talked about how she found the text and the FaceTime video, but she is saying, I absolutely never shared the video. And you know, the video is not even on her phone. There's no way she can be liable for this. Like, that is really wild. If this doesn't pass her or allow her to just kind of move past this and just, you know, she needs to get just out of this. Like, Raquel needs to leave Ariana out of this story. This is a Tom and a Raquel issue. And she has anger towards Tom, and she's pushing it onto Ariana. Maybe it was an attorney's advice. I don't know, but it sounds really bad. Andrew says, and this is interesting, the idea that he not only deleted the photos from his phone, but then went into the recently deleted photos to do it means he knew exactly what he was doing. He's done this before. It was like he immediately knew how to do that and what to do. And I'm sure you can get records of former texts. And I don't know how iCloud works and Apple works, but I wonder if you can find deleted text messages, even if like she deleted a text that she sent to someone and then recently took it off, recently deleted. Is it out there? Like for an attorney, I imagine there has to be a way. So Mark says Ariana should countersue for emotional distress and court costs. I'm assuming Ariana wants to get as far as possible away from anything related to Rachel and Tom Sandoval. Like I said, I have a really sneaky, weird feeling. Although Ariana is on tonight's episode of Watch What Happens Live with Katie. So if she really hastily just quit Vanderpump Rules, like a lot of people are saying is a theory in the reunion, I don't know. I don't know if she would just show up to Watch What Happens Live. Would Bravo be pissed at her? Would people be mad, you know? Whoa, Michelle says Ariana said he hid photos on a fake clock or calculator app. How? What is this app? Anyway, it's just dirty and gross and old and like move the F on. And Rachel should know really, really clearly that this is not going to go well for her. She needs to just move on. What is she trying to prove? Prove to everyone that, you know, Tom Sandoval is the problem. And he is. Tom Sandoval is the problem. And no one else is. Ariana is not. So, okay, let's move on. I should have mentioned this earlier because this came up a little while ago and it's just on my brain. I didn't tell you guys the details about Kyle Richards' daughter. Kyle Richards' daughter, when she got, you know how Farrah had a burglary and we know that it was done at her house? Do you know that it was upwards of $1 million of stuff? You guys, I'm not being facetious. I swear on my life, I don't think I have $1 million of assets in my entire home. Like, I have to really think this out. $1 million. And she lives alone. It's not like it's her and her husband and their kids. How many? Number one, I have one fancy bag in my entire house. That's it. And it's definitely not even close to $1 million. Oh, Andrew says it was 10 bags of groceries. Yeah, in Los Angeles. Exactly. It was one shopping trip at Trader Joe's. What could, she must have had some crazy expensive jewelry. I just don't understand it. Is something wrong with me that I'm not interested in spending money on things like that? Even if I had so much money, I don't think my money would ever go to like a diamond ring or like a gold necklace. It just isn't something that I feel like. I mean, let's put together my assets, okay, really fast. Okay. I have a few computers and TVs. Those are pricey. I've got a Cuisinart. I've got a Ninja Creamy. Okay, those Ninja Creamies are hot commodities. Got a washer dryer. I have a fridge. I have a nice stove. I did buy a nice oven and it was the biggest waste of money ever. And I really wished I had just my cheap oven from my last house. Let's keep going around my house here. I have my sound system. That's a few hundred dollars for my podcast. I have an arcade machine right here. Have you guys seen what's over here? You want to see? It's like my kid's arcade machine right there. I have a VHS player, an Xbox. I've got an Oculus. All right. I think I've hit like $8,000. Yeah. Some people have like some really nice pieces of furniture. I don't even think I have that. I mean, I buy my furniture at World Market, West Elm. Anyway. Michelle says, don't tell everyone about your Ninja Creamy. You're going to be the next one to get robbed with those kinds of assets. Listen, the Ninja Creamy is mine. In a fire, I'm taking the Creamy. in a fire. It's me, my photos, my animals, and my Ninja Creamy. I can't go a day without that thing. What's your most prized kitchen appliance you own? That's what I want to know. What's the one thing that you, other than like obviously your fridge, what's the one thing extra? You know, we have air fryers. What do you have that you're like, I couldn't live a week in this kitchen without it? I'm all about the Ninja Creamy. All right, let's move on. I don't even know where I want to start. Tori Spelling wants a sixth child. When I saw this, I almost fell over. I said, you've got to be joking me. This can't be possible. But she has a new podcast out, which I can't keep up. I'm trying really hard to keep up, and I will. I'll listen to it at some point. But allegedly, according to Page Six, in this podcast, she says that she wants to be pregnant with her baby number six amid menopause. She wishes she froze her eggs. She was confessing to her podcast listeners on Tuesday that she wishes she were pregnant with her sixth child. She has a guest, Sarah Evans, who says she would love to be pregnant again. And Spelling, who is going through menopause, replied, same, my friend. Now, she said, I'd love to have another baby. She asked Sarah Evans' husband, Jay Barker, to impregnate them, saying she should have frozen her eggs. She gushed about being effing fertile at the start of the episode, and she already, remember, has 5 kids, okay? How do we talk about this without offending anyone with a large family? And I'm really not trying to generalize anyone with a lot of kids, because I'm jealous of people with large families. I think that's so beautiful and so wonderful. And to be 100% honest, if I had the finances for it and the patience for it and maybe the resources for it, I probably would want more kids. I mean, at least 3, because I love the idea of a big family, right? I love the idea of a huge, like, Thanksgiving, right? But having 2 kids myself is the most work in the entire world. 3 would take it over the edge. 5, ranging from 17 to 7. Do you know what life is like in terms of schedules, activities, finances, money? Even if you don't send them to private school, even if it's just public school and all you're paying for is just food and clothes, you know that they have to have some tutoring, some activity. I hope they're in some sort of extracurricular activities. You guys, we cannot in any way afford this anymore. Remember, Trader Joe's cost us $1 million. I personally do not understand how people can do it unless you have massive resources. Tori Spelling, if you see this, okay, Tori? Please, no matter what you do, even if you're dying for more kids and you're like, you think about going down the fostering route or the adoption, you cannot have more kids. Tori Spelling, someone said it a little while ago. I just saw it in the comments. Tori Spelling is a collector, Debbie says, is a collector and a hoarder. Stuff, pets, children. It's a mental disease. I don't know if, look, I'm going to try to say this in a really like kind way, but sometimes women who consistently just continue to have children, and it's not for a religious reason, it's not like the Duggars, right? It feels a little bit like filling a void. Am I wrong? Now, I'm not saying on your 3rd or your 4th, but I'm saying when we get into like 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. Now, like Debbie says, my brother is Hasidic Jewish. He has 7 kids. Okay, great. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you are in one of those relationships or in those marriages or in those kind of religions, then it's a different story. Wow, Christina is the youngest of 10 siblings. Mom Unscripted has 4 kids wanting a 5th, and my husband was like, no. Ray's dad is one of 10. August is the oldest of 13. Okay, I'm kind of jealous now. Like, it's the Sound of Music. Do you guys do a family band? Like, I would have more kids just to do the family Von Trapp. Huh. it's giving Monica Garcia, right? Like in the sense of being open and wanting more and more and more kids. I don't know. Tori Spelling can hardly afford, she says, her own life. She can't afford public storage. She really can't even be joking about having other kids. That is wild to me. And not only that, it really is a disservice to children when you're financially not able to take care of so many in the way that they want. Like, what a bummer that is for baby number three who wants to play an instrument and the parents are like, sorry, we can't afford lessons. Like, I don't know. It's interesting. Now, one of you guys said Sarah Evans, her guest on her podcast, is like a good deep dive. I need to know why. I don't know anything about her. Who is Sarah Evans? I have to listen to this podcast. Is she the musician, the country singer? Google. Okay, Andrew just says Google. Andrew, DM me. I want to know everything. Let's deep dive all these weird marriages. All right, let's move on. Tori, my love, no. I will tell you, at my workout this morning, a guy that is in my workout class went to high school or elementary school, I can't remember, with the Spellings. And he's the one that said that he used to go over to Randy Spelling's house and they would just like call phone numbers and say like, you know, just somewhere in the house, like bring us pizzas. And then pizzas would just show up. He said he saw Tori and her daughter last night at dinner at sushi at a restaurant that I wouldn't say is necessarily cheap. Okay. So she is spending her money on sushi. We know that. All right. Think about going to Disneyland. I looked up Disneyland tickets the other day. By the way, any of you guys work for Disney? Call me. I looked up Disneyland tickets because I really wanted to take the boys to Disneyland at some point this week because they still are on spring break. Yep, I said it. They're still on spring break and it's basically summertime. I really wanted to take them to Disney. On the Disney website, to go with two adults and two kids for one day on a park hopper ticket, meaning you can go to both Disneyland and California Adventure, would cost us well over $850 just to get in. Just to get in. You know Disneyland is so expensive. You know once you're in there, you have to buy all the things. You know you want to buy all the churros and the pickles and the snacks. Who? How? How do people do it? How do people live? I'm starting to question our world a lot more these days. Let's move on. Do you watch Selling OC, Selling the OC? If you don't, this is your signal that it's time to start watching. Yes, it's a slow burn. Season one, I struggled. All these girls are so damn perfect and gorgeous and like perfectly dressed. And it's essentially Selling Sunset on Netflix in OC. They're perfectly dressed. They're gorgeous. They're stunning. They would never wear these outfits if they weren't on a TV show. It's wild. And in the meantime, sorry, I just read a comment. Ray, I'm dying. You have to text me later. It's like a beautiful show. I mean, the OC is so beautiful. There's parts that are just gorgeous right on the beach, Laguna and Dana Point and these stunning properties, Newport Beach. So that part to me is fun. It's eye candy. But I got really into this last season and Alex Hall is the lead of the show. I would kind of say that she is the lead of the show. Now, if you remember any of the drama from last season, she was working at the same agency. By the way, it's the Oppenheim group. It's the same as Selling Sunset. So she was working with all of them. And one of the guys who happened to be working at the brokerage or whatever, one of the guys who happened to be there was married to Brittany Snow. And his name is, I just want to get it right, Tyler Staniland. Tyler Staniland. So if you remember watching the show at all, he's very tall. He's a good looking guy. Not really my type. He kind of looks a little like maybe not the smartest guy, but he comes from a lot of money. He comes from a big real estate background who also, you know, he did that in his parents also are in that real estate world. So Alex and him in the first season had a very flirty relationship, and you'll watch that. But at that point, he's very much married. Now, by the time season two comes around, he is separated, getting divorced, or maybe divorced. I don't know exactly. And so when they are going to, you know, into the second season, you see that there's definitely some flirty vibes that build between this Alex Hall and Tyler. Towards the end of the season, it is very clear we like each other. We're going to hook up. And they start making out in the last episode of the last season. Of season two. And that's where it cuts off. I thought, because I don't follow any of them on social media, now I follow Alex, but I thought, oh, maybe, you know, they're still together. I think they're actually really cute. I'm almost like, I like them as a couple. One of you told me that they both broke up and now block each other on social media, which bums me out so badly because I actually really like them together. And as you know, I'm a Gen Zer, so I ship them, baby. I ship them. Michelle says he ghosted her after they stopped filming. Okay, I need to know the whole story. I'm sure we're going to find out everything in this next season, which airs, I'm pretty sure it airs, they're already doing press for it. So I think it airs, if you guys have a date on me, date of when it airs, let me know. But I know it's coming very soon. So Page Six speaks about this. There was, Alex Hall did a press junket with a few of the other people from the show, these gorgeous, gorgeous women and one of the guys. And she rips into, this is the Page Six headline, selling the OC star Alex Hall rips into calculated Brittany Snow for suggesting Tyler Staniland had an affair with her. So Brittany Snow was on Call Her Daddy. Obviously, Call Her Daddy is Alex Cooper. I'm sure a lot of you guys know what it is. That was in March. Brittany Snow was on Call Her Daddy, and in that episode, she alluded to infidelity on Staniland's part, on Tyler's part. She didn't specifically say it, but she alluded to it, and she reacted to behavior exhibited in his close relationships with female cast members on Selling the OC. There was definitely some drama in season one where he was flirty and one of the girls tried to kiss him, but it was really about the Alex thing. And a lot of people kind of went after Alex for that because it made her sound a little bit like, I guess, a homewrecker. She said, I will say, this is what Brittany Snow said, I will say what people think happened, happened. There's a lot of grace that I give myself, and also I can own. There's a part of this that I don't have a part in. And then she said they messed up. But Alex Hall is essentially saying that she was using that podcast interview to promote her businesses, to promote her movies or whatever. And she said, I don't know what her truth is, she elaborates. All I know is that the accusation and what she was implying, or what everyone took from that implication, which was there, which was that there may have been something going on between Tyler and I while they were married, is completely inaccurate and could not be farther from the truth. Snow announced her separation from Tyler in September 2022. We watched the show, the second season of Selling the OC aired in September of 2023. But July 2023 was when their union was legally dissolved. And in the jacuzzi, when they finally do make out and kiss Tyler and Alex from the show, that was months later. She says, Tyler being unfaithful in his marriage with somebody else, that's none of my business. If that happened or it didn't happen, I don't know. That's between him and Brittany. But what everyone took from the interview, it was aimed at me. A lot of it was aimed at me, unfortunately. I personally don't think that she, I mean, you could think that maybe they did have some sort of an affair, but there's no proof to it. I like Alex Hall. Andrew says during that interview, watch the rest of the cast faces. Ooh, and Michelle says, Don, I watched the Selling Sunset reunion. Some of the OC was on there, and they aired parts of the upcoming season. I didn't even know they did a Selling Sunset reunion. Okay, so I'll go watch that. Now, we also know that Polly, the girl that also works in the office, the one with the accent, she clearly made out with Tyler at some sort of party in the offices. And that was a big part of this last season too. So my guess is Tyler and Brittany were never really good. Brittany Snow lives here in LA, as far as I know. I know Brittany Snow's mom for years and years and years and years and years. Brittany Snow's mom, I wonder if she still is, was a big talent manager for kids. A lot of these child actors that come out, because Brittany Snow started acting very young. A lot of these child actors, their mom and dads, i.e. Charlie D'Amelio, become successful as a manager for their own kids, or I should say their kids become successful. And so they become successful. And because they have experience and they have a famous child, other moms and dads in the industry come to them for advice. And then what ends up happening is a lot of them just become managers and start repping everyone else. A lot of other managers that that's happened with, it happened with Blake Lively's parents. Blake Lively's mom was a very big manager. I don't know if any of these people are still, but she was. I know that Dove Cameron on the Disney Channel, her mom became not a manager as far as I know, but she started a podcast about actors, she wrote books, she did speaking on it. So this is like kind of a thing that happens where the momagers become. Oh, another person who that happened with is Karen Renna. That's Patrick Renna from, do you guys remember The Sandlot, that movie with the redheaded kid? Scientologist, the redheaded boy, the overweight, you know, curly haired redheaded boy with the freckles. His mom became a very big manager. It happens so many times over and over and over. But anyway, I digress. I really like her mom. Brittany's mom is really sweet. But I don't think Brittany ever really wanted to like live down in OC. And Tyler, I think, was just an OC dude, born and raised, and it just didn't make sense for them. I don't know a lot about Brittany as a person, though, and I don't know a lot about Brittany's career. I definitely don't really follow anything over there. So we'll have to see what happens. But I do really like Alex Hall. I'm obsessed with her family that she shows on her show. She's unapologetic. She's exactly who she is. I think she's stunning, gorgeous, and I think a lot of people don't like that about her because she's confident. When you have these women on these shows that are unapologetic, that are who they want to be, that are confident, she went to Stagecoach and she wore like assless chaps at Stagecoach. This is a turnoff to a lot of other people. You can either look at that and be like, I think you're rad and you just don't give a crap and you are exactly who you want to be. And then you can also look at that and be like, wow, you're so full of yourself. You're so obsessed with yourself. So I think people really, have a love-hate relationship with women like that, I'm all about it. I really like her. Okay, next. I did listen to most of this morning's podcast that of Not Skinny But Not Fat. And the reason why I listened to it, well, I like Amanda, but the reason why I listened to it is because she had Amanda Batula from Summer House on her show. So I imagine they filmed this very, very recently because Amanda Hirsch, the host of the podcast, is incredibly pregnant. And you can tell in the video clips that she posted that she is obviously pregnant. So this is not like one of those podcasts that was taped 8 months ago. I found this incredibly interesting. You guys, you know, Summer House takes up so much of my life, right? She takes up so much of my, it takes up so much of my brain space. If you go and listen to this podcast, Amanda and Kyle cannot stay together. I say this, and I really like Amanda. I really do. And I actually really like Kyle too. But if you go and listen to this podcast and the way that Amanda confirms all of her feelings that she was talking about on the season of Summer House, all of her issues with Kyle, all of her struggles with Kyle, the fact that, you know, he doesn't want to have kids. He doesn't want to move to the suburbs. And she's like, well, he may not want to go, but I'm going. Like, it's happening with or without him. The way that she thinks he works too much, the way that he says, she confirms in this interview that he thinks she's lazy and doesn't do enough. This is just red flagging left and right. I think it's so confusing because I actually watch them on social. I follow both Kyle and Amanda on social, and they are so lovey all over their socials, right? They post all these beautiful pictures of them at weddings, like currently, right? Where they look great and they seem happy and they seem in love and all of that. But when you hear Amanda talk about Kyle in this interview specifically, it's nothing new. It's nothing that we haven't heard before. But it feels so, actually, you know what? This is interesting. It feels just so like she's not a fan of him. I find it really, really interesting. So why don't you look at this? Okay, I just went over to Amanda Petula's Instagram. If you don't know about Kyle, if you don't know that she's married to Kyle, it's interesting because I thought she was posting him like crazy. And I think she does post him a little bit, but it's mostly her. It's mostly kind of influencer type of content. Here's a picture or a reel in February, but oh, and it's a drink lover boy post of the two of them. But in general, she's posting a lot of herself. Now, I do think in her, you know, montages or whatever, what are they called when you post a bunch, like the photo dumps, she'll probably have a picture of him like down the line. Oh, no, there's not even a picture of him at all in that one. This is the video that she had of him in that last season, which is, it just cracks me up so much. Yeah, there's like random photos of him in the background, right? Now, if you go to his page, it's Amanda. You guys notice that? It's all Amanda. Do you remember that this episode or that episode a couple episodes ago when he said, I looked at her photos and she doesn't have any photos of me? It's probably because of this. And it looks like she's not fixing the issue. Don't you think it's so weird? He's so proud of her. He's like, he shows her everywhere and she's not showing him. And I call me insane, but we have seen this now in so many cases. When you stop posting the man in your photos, or if you stop posting the woman in your photos, it's alluding to you not wanting to like show them off. I don't know. I kind of feel bad for Kyle in this case. He is like, there's not a picture that Amanda's not in. They're such a good looking couple though. Sorry. I'm like photo stalking. I just don't know how this is going to work out. It just doesn't seem like it will. We'll have to see. So much, so much. All right. Any other big stories that we can talk about? Do we care about Kim and Croy losing their $4.5 million mansion because they weren't able to sell it for six? Dying. Kim and Croy. Yes, we're still talking about Kim and Croy. It's giving Larsa and Marcus. What other stories? Anne Hathaway celebrates 5 years of sobriety. That's kind of a big deal. She says, I don't normally talk about it, but I'm over 5 years sober. It feels like a milestone to me. She admitted drinking probably was a way of dealing with not feeling comfortable in her own body. And she says there was a lot of somatic stress there. I was very in my head about a lot of things. Now, I am very, very impressed by anyone that cuts alcohol out of their lives, whether they're big drinkers or not. So I have nothing negative to say about her in that case. What I do have to say about her is Anne Hathaway, she had a second video published yesterday of her at some sort of big press event where she stands outside of her house or her car or wherever. And there's a bunch of fans and there's a bunch of paparazzi and people want to meet her. And she stands there for the second time. This is not deja vu. And she stands there and she goes, please, please, everyone, calm down. Take a step back, everyone. Everyone, please calm down. She didn't say calma, but I wish she did. I don't think she was in Italy. But literally, calma, 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 calma. It's so insane, that behavior. As a celebrity, think you're lucky stars that people want to take pictures of you. It can go like that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine coming out of your house and all of a sudden, or your apartment or your restaurant or whatever, and saying, come, everyone take a step back. I will give you what you need. You must take a step back. What do you think she talks to her kids about? How do you think she deals with them when they're like, mommy, I'm hungry? She's like, take, honey, take a step back. I will get to you when I am ready for you. Okay. Meanwhile, I need to go and meditate. I can't. She drives me nuts. Nuts. A lot of you are asking me to talk more on the Jersey drama. Okay. Jersey, this is a big story. So I really want to make sure I get all my facts right. I talked about it a little bit last week, how stuff has been coming out that Teresa and Jennifer Aiden allegedly were paying bloggers and Instagram creators and podcasters, Twitter creators to post positively about them. They were sending early screeners. I think from what we've seen, and trust me, I will get into this. Maybe I'll talk more about it. I think that it's true. I think we've seen enough, you know, evidence that this is true, and especially Jennifer Aiden. It's giving desperado, it's giving thirsty, and it's giving like needing to take control of the narrative so much. The second you have these housewives or reality stars sending information early to these people or sending screeners early to these people, et cetera, just to get a good review on their website or their Instagram, you're shifting. This is like, it's too much for me. It's making me not want to watch the show. So we'll have to see what happens, but I wonder if Bravo will actually say anything or do anything about it. And we'll go from there. I'll do some more digging and I'll bring it to you guys tomorrow, but you know, it's a daily show for a reason. I can only bring so much per day. Tomorrow, of course, we're going to talk Vanderpump Rules. We're going to talk The Valley, my fave. We're going to probably have some other stories and more. I hope you guys are doing great. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Bye, y'all.